Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, Steve Jones Show. Hope you had a great weekend. News Radio 1070 WKOK. We're at stevejonesshow.com. We're also on Facebook, so give us a like. We're on Twitter. Give us a follow. Twitter follow at Steve Jones PSU. And you can also subscribe to our free podcast. We're on iTunes, the Apple Podcast app, and Google Play. Once our shows air live on WKOK, you can listen to them on your smartphone and tablet, and you also have access to 3 months of shows on our homepage at stevejonesshow.com. And our Monday Steve Jones Show, always brought to you by Purdy Insurance on Market Street, Sunbury. Well, we're getting in closer to springtime. That means spring cleaning. How about your current insurance policy situation? Could that use a little spring cleaning? Because you want to make sure you have the right coverage when life happens. So get in touch with Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury. They will customize a policy that'll meet your needs, meet your budget, and then when you contact them, they are the people that you want in your quarter. PurdyInsurance.com, Market Street in Sunbury. And we are looking forward once again this spring to the annual Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club on Wednesday, May the 8th. And we are in the process of putting something special together between Purdy Insurance and, of course, our great friend Tom at Sunbury Motors and us here at the Steve Jones Show. Something special for the day before the Purdy tournament. So we will keep you posted on that as we get closer. Guaranteed. So the big story over the weekend, absolutely the biggest NFL story since the Patriots winning the Super Bowl a little over a month ago. The saga is finally over in Pittsburgh with wide receiver Antonio Brown, as he was dealt to the Oakland Raiders. In exchange, the Steelers get a third round and a fifth round pick in this year's NFL draft. And we'll talk more about that situation with Steelers beat writer Ray Fittipaldo from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Ray scheduled to join us later this hour at 3:35. Steve will also be talking to, yes, the face and the voice of Big Ten Network, the Rever, Dave Revzin. Be back on the show with us as we're gearing up for Penn State taking part in the Big Ten Conference men's basketball tournament later this week. And with the combination of the Indiana win yesterday and Penn State taking care of business on Senior Day against Illinois, Penn State was able to get a matchup with number 7 Minnesota coming up Thursday night. So Penn State will get a first round bye. We'll jump right into the second round. That'll be a 7 p.m. tip our time on Thursday night. We'll have a 6:30 pregame with Steve and Dick Girardi here on News Radio 1070 WKOK and streaming on your desktop at WKOK.com. So we look forward to that later this week. Sticking with Penn State, the wrestling team rolling through.
Let's get to the big headlines of the weekend. We'll get to Antonio Brown in a moment.
We will.
Obviously. Because obviously, you know, he's no longer your guy. It's the way it goes.
Someone else's headache now.
Well, it's just, I feel like everybody's abandoning you in the suit in droves. Let's...
Unfortunately, that 21.1 in dead cap space, so that's not abandoning the Steelers anytime soon.
No.
I just wonder long-term if that's going to cripple the team.
I don't know. We'll find out. I can't answer that.
Yeah.
But the... Let's start with this. Penn State wrestling. I want to start there. I think it's important to start there. They win the Big Ten championship. What is great about Mark Hall, Jason Nolf, and Bo Nickel is that they are expected to be great, and to their credit, they are great, and thus they won another Big Ten championship. They are expected to be great, and every single time out, they deliver great. That's, to me, so impressive. So incredibly impressive that that's the way they are. The big story out of the weekend is not just the Big Ten team championship, but the big story out of the weekend is Anthony Cassar. Cassar was brilliant. And Cassar wins the Big Ten title. And this is a guy who was not the highest of the recruited guys in the face of the earth, and yet has put himself in a position where he can be a national champion and not just a Big Ten champion. And his story is a great story, because exactly how many high-profile programs were just beating down the door to get to Anthony Cassar, and he has, through excellent coaching, his own personal hard work and dedication, has made himself into a champion. It's a great story. Another great individual. Now, I think Shakur Rashid, look, he'll be ready to go, I'm sure, in Pittsburgh. And believe me, Vincenzo Joseph's going home to Pittsburgh. He will win the title. I would be shocked if Vincenzo Joseph did not go to Pittsburgh and win the national championship a third straight time. I'd be shocked. I know neither of those guys, I mean, Rashid did not wrestle yesterday, and of course, Joseph got beat. But my confidence in what he can do in Pittsburgh, because you're going to end up with different matchups in Pittsburgh, too. They may not have a rematch. May not have, and if they do, he may win, because he may just look at the tape and say, look, I got to do this, this, and this. There's that one move that's gotten him. I mean, he's wrestled that guy twice. I think he's lost to him twice now. It's the same move that got him each time. So now, Pittsburgh's the next stop for the national championship train, because the team title, they won by a wide margin. I talked about Cassar as an individual. Now let's talk about another great individual, Dene Rivers. You probably do not know the name of Dene Rivers, but anybody around here where I am, we know about Dene Rivers. She became the first indoor track champ for Penn State, and she did so in the 800 meters. And every single time out during this indoor season, my neighbor Jim Hopi, who loves track, Jim for years, by the way, is the guy that was in charge of feeding the football team. And Jim finally retired a year and a half ago. Jim loves track. He goes to Shippensburg every year. That's a big part of what Jim does. Loves it. So we'll talk track. And we're out there, it's snowing out, whatever, and we're shoveling driveways together. And we're talking about Dene Rivers. This is 2 months ago. Dene Rivers sets a personal best, which usually is a Penn State record, every time she goes out. And she won the 800 meters at the NCAA indoors. Incredible. Liam Folks. Wisconsin never wants to see Liam Folks again. After scoring the golden goal to win the Big Ten title in 2016, he scores the overtime goal last night to get Penn State into the next round at Ohio State. They lost the first game on Friday night. They then won Saturday 6-2 in an overtime last night to advance. On home ice, didn't hurt. Now they're at Ohio State, number one seed. But the perseverance they showed was very impressive. Tonight in the Penn State Coaches Show, Rob Cooper is going to be on the show. The baseball team's out to a great start. So we're going to talk to Coop tonight before we get to Patrick Chambers on the show tonight. talk about baseball. Bucknell basketball. They get to play for the Patriot League title. Now, is that Tuesday night?
That'll be Wednesday night.
Wednesday night.
Yeah, that's a 7:30 tip, not 7. So, of course, we'll have the pregame at 7 on Eagle 107 from Colgate.
Obviously, I saw Colgate in person this year because Penn State played them back in December. Actually, kind of, I was impressed by what I saw from Colgate, even though Penn State beat them with relative ease. But I was impressed by what I saw from Colgate. Bucknell's playing its best basketball of the year. Nathan's done a great job with them. I watched that game on TV yesterday. When, you know, once I got home, I watched it, obviously. And I was impressed. So you have an automatic bid on the line to get to the NCAA. We can talk about the great job Matt Painter's done at Purdue, losing 4 starters the way he did and winning a co-Big Ten championship. Same could be said for the job Nathan Davis has done, losing all the starters and losing all the points he did from last year and have his team in this position this year. Nathan deserves a lot of credit for what he's done. Nathan's staff deserves a lot of credit, and so do the players for what they've done. Because remember, what they did at Bucknell this year is very similar to what Purdue had to do. They had to replace a lot of critical seniors from last year's team. Painter ends up winning a co-Big Ten championship and being a number 2 seed. Nathan wins a co-Patriot League championship and being a number 2 seed. A lot of similarities. And Nathan and his staff and his players deserve a lot of credit because they had a lot of work to do and a lot of points and rebounds to replace, and they figured out a way to do it. You deserve a lot of credit when you do something like that. And I hope people appreciate the job Nathan's been doing. Antonio Brown got dealt. Steelers were able to get back a 3rd-round pick, a 5th-round pick, and a bag of footballs. As I said when the process began, I said the Steelers will not get a number 1, and they will not get a number 2. Oh, no, you understand the value of Antonio Brown. Yes, I do. I said they would not get a 1, and they would not get a 2. And they made a trade with a team that has not 1, not 2, but 3 first-round picks this year. And the Steelers didn't get one of them. What does that tell you? And finally, Nittany Lion basketball. Josh Reeves yesterday at a career-high 26. David Zemgulis. It's one of the great stories. I don't know if I told you the story. Did I tell you the story off the air Friday, Sean, about Zemgulis? I might have.
Did not.
Okay, as I guess I told somebody else. I'm at Friday's practice. I went to Saturday as well, but I was at Friday's practice. Friday's practice is over with. And I see Davis Zemgulis walk over to Pat. And I was on the sideline that you would look at on camera, so my back would have been to where the camera is. So at the foul line to my right, Pat's there, and I see Davis Zemgulis walk over to him. And Zemgulis comes over and puts his arm around him. And you know how you can just guess? Your gut tells you what's going on here. I'm thinking, my first thought is, he's telling him, don't start me. I could tell. Well, then I saw Pat Saturday after practice, and Pat says, can you believe what Zemgulis did yesterday? I said, I'm guessing he told you not to start him. And he says, yeah. And then Pat got all choked up, and he was almost on the verge of tears. He said, he looked at me and he said, this game, we've been on a roll. We've been playing great. This game's too important for us for me to start as a senior. How selfless is that? So at the end of the game, when he bricked the first one, hit the backboard, and then Jamari Wheeler slapped it out to him, and from 35 feet, he then drained the three-pointer. When someone's that selfless and then gets a reward like that, you feel good about it. The game's too important to us. Okay? We just watched Antonio Brown pull the biggest me of the year. Me, 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 me. And I've got this kid over here from Lithuania. He finally gets a chance to start a game in his senior year and declines it because because the team needs to win the game, and it's far more an important a priority to him than his personal need to start. I just watched the ultimate me and the ultimate we play out in front of me. We'll come back with more in a moment, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com and News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Attention Central PA truck buyers! SMT is where you want to be in March for the largest truck sale in their history. Choose from over 125 new Ford trucks with savings up to 15 grand. Sunbury Motors has new Ford F-150 4x4 crew cabs priced as low as $39,619. During Sunbury Motors' 71st annual new Ford truck sale, every new F-150 will come with a complimentary accessory package. This $800 accessory package includes a tonneau cover, wheel well liners, and all-weather floor mats. The much anticipated all-new 2019 Ford Ranger is available in both Super Cab and Crew Cab and is now in stock at SMC.
And it doesn't end there.
Take $6,000 off new Ford Escapes, $7,000 off EcoSports, and up to a whopping $8,000 off Ford Explorers. With four city blocks of new Fords
and over a century of automotive experience,
SMC is where you want to be in March during this historic 71st annual new truck sale. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
There's so much going on in sports there. We're going to have Ray Fittipaldo on in the next half hour. So much going on. And we'll probably get to this, believe it or not, maybe next week. Maybe. But the Alston versus NCAA case had a decision handed down where the NCAA lost, but the current model remained in place with some modifications. Now, they're going to go to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. That's the next stop on this. And they will do that. Now, I think, politics aside, I think almost anybody on the planet would concede that the Ninth Circuit Court's the single most liberal court in the country. Okay? I don't really think it takes a genius to say that if you know anything about legal proceedings. They're more wide open on ideas than other courts. So going there, we'll see how that plays out. But as of right now, the NCAA lost the case because the ruling was for the plaintiff. But the ruling put in place where if you do more for the student-athlete, it has to be on the educational side. I'll give you maybe a very benign example. You need, as a student-athlete, it would really help you educationally if you had a laptop. They can now buy one for you and give it to you. That's a benign example. But we don't have time to even talk about that. There's so much going on. Wrestling, I mean, everything. We're going to talk about the Steelers, where now it's been shown you can quit and walk out on your team in Week 17 and get what you want. What an example that sets for the youth of America. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855. Or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades, finding their customers the right insurance so they're covered, auto, home, life, business, whatever it may be, and finding the best price. That's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. As I was relating the Davis Zemgulis story at Penn State, where he goes to his coach on senior day, before senior day, and says, look, you can't really start me. This game's too important for me to then have a moment where I start the game. He said, we need to win. And you contrast that with Antonio Brown. That's one of the greatest we-to-me stories I've seen within 24 hours. Ray Fittipaldo joins us from Pittsburgh, from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Ray, it's always great to hear you on the other end.
Hey, Steve. Good to be with you again.
All right. So you are not lacking for material to write about. So let's start with that right there. In the end, what happened with the Bills, did that in the end then really take away any leverage the Steelers had?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's obvious the Bills had the better offer on the table. You know, the Steelers gave their GM the permission to call Drew Rosenhaus, and at that point, Drew Rosenhaus informed them that AB either didn't want to go to Buffalo or they weren't going to pay him enough money. So it's a little bit fuzzy as to whether it was an early second-round pick or whether they were going to get AB and they were going to swap 20 and 9. But either way, I mean, listen, the Steelers, by that falling through, the Steelers obviously had no other options, and they had to settle for the third and the fifth. And it's not nearly enough value in return for Antonio Brown, Steve, but I think it points to the fact that the Steelers just really wanted to be rid of the entire situation, the distraction that was Antonio Brown.
When you look at Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, I know they're separate cases. In your opinion, Ray, how much of this is the personality of the player? How much is this the personality of the organization? And how much of this is what the league is today?
Yeah, great question, Steve. I think let's break it down first with Le'Veon. I think that was a business decision. I think the Steelers had a miscalculation there. They never thought he would sit out and leave $14.5 million on the table. So they, you know, looking back, they got burned in that situation. They thought they were going to have Bell on their team in 2018, and it turns out that he had more resolve than they thought. But I think it wasn't personal, right? That was just a business decision on his part. When it comes to the Antonio Brown situation, it's almost like he's pushing back against the way the Steelers do things. I asked Kevin Colbert this point blank at the combine, because all these guys are forcing their way out of town. Is the way you do business good enough? I mean, is the way you've always done business, does that have to change in this new era that we seem to be going into? And he said, no, we're not going to change. So they're not going to change the way they structure their contracts. They're not going to give all this upfront money and guaranteed money like you're seeing today on the first day of free agency. They just don't do that. They believe in what they do. And I really think you're looking at two unique situations or from the Steelers' perspective, I think they're hoping that these are just two unique situations and that they can do business the way they do business with the other, you know, 51 players on their roster.
The two systems are different, but I feel like I just witnessed an NFL player pull an NBA player move.
I know. Doesn't it feel that way?
Yeah, I mean, it really does feel that way to me. We just watched a guy literally quit on his team. Because in week 17, he quit. And, quote, get away with it.
Yep. You know, listen, Steve, I mean, you saw him go on the HBO show that LeBron James does. I forget the name of it. But I think you could see that the NBA culture is starting to infiltrate into the way NFL players are thinking. And I think we all know that NFL player contracts are by far the worst of any of the four major sports in the United States.
That's right.
You know, the guaranteed money isn't there like it is in the other three sports. You know, they're fighting to get to that point. The CBA runs out in another year or two, so if the players really want to make a point of it, they can, you know, they could have a work stoppage, and you know, we'll see how much, you know, resolve they have then. But yeah, for the next year, 2 years before that CBA comes, I think people in the NFL offices and, you know, obviously people like Art Rooney and Kevin Colbert, they have to be worried that this type of behavior isn't rewarded in the future. And if, you know, unfortunately for the Steelers, they were sort of the first to have it happen to them. If you're the Steelers, how do you make sure this doesn't happen again? I don't know the answer to that.
No, and I don't think anybody knows the answer to it. And part of it is going to be through the collective bargaining agreement, which may provide answers. Because my point on Le'Veon Bell has always been this, okay, is that your argument's actually with your union, not with your team. They negotiated it and said that teams can do this.
Exactly. Yeah, back in 2011, you know, they kept this franchise tag, and, you know, with you know, I don't want to say it penalizes star players, but it does sort of hold them back from getting more guaranteed money, and they sort of have to go year to year on these deals. And, you know, obviously Le'Veon Bell had had enough of that. He played on the tag right for 1 year, and he wasn't willing to do it on two. So we'll see how it goes from here. But, yeah, I agree with you, Steve. I think the NFL has its hands full here for the next couple of years until this new CBA can get ironed out.
So since January 1st, I think the Steelers have probably resigned themselves that Antonio Brown was not going to be a part of the mix. I think it's, you know, after what he pulled at the end of the season, not showing up for practice, things like that, I think they knew they had to move on. So they had to have been thinking, how do we handle this? So when you look at the Steelers returning at wide receiver, where do you look for answers? Do you look more at free agency, in your opinion, Ray, or is it really the draft you have to look at?
I actually think both, Steve. You know, free agency is unpredictable. You see some of the money that's being doled out today, and you realize that it might not be feasible. But, you know, a guy like John Brown played for the Ravens last year on a one-year, $5 million deal. He's a deep threat. That's what this Steelers offense needs. Juju Smith-Schuster and James Washington are really good receivers, but they're not speedsters, and they need somebody to stress the field and, you know, to take the pressure off those guys. So if they don't get a guy like John Brown in free agency, then I think they're going to be forced to use one of their early draft picks on a receiver, and preferably, you know, it could be a fast guy who could sort of stretch the field. I don't think you can get away with two guys who run in the 4-5 range to be your top two receivers. I think you need a third guy in there to run down the field, be a deep threat, and take some coverage away from those other two guys.
So how do you look at Juju Smith-Schuster, and how do you look at James Washington? How do you look at those two guys right now, Ray? Obviously, Juju, you have more of a read on than Washington, but what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think Juju's going to be just fine as the number one receiver. He's a pro. He studies. He knows how to get open. You know, his quote-unquote lack of speed, not that he's slow, but that doesn't affect him. He's such a good route runner and such a good player that he's going to get his yards. Washington is, you know, he's the interesting case study here. Also a second-round pick. But he didn't come through as a rookie like Juju did. So Steelers are sitting here thinking, well, we think he's going to be a good player, but do they really know that? So that's why I think they're almost forced to go out and sign someone this week and or draft someone to compliment James, because I feel the same way. I do think James Washington is going to be a good player, but until he proves it, you just can't go into the 2019 season counting on that.
We've mentioned free agency several times. The Steelers have, I think, dabbled in it, would be at least my word, may not be yours, have dabbled in it, picked up a guy here and there along the way. Do the Steelers maybe have to change their thinking on how they do business at this time of the year because of what's been happening?
Yeah, I mean, Steve, it's a good point. I think dabble was a good word. They've made some good signings over the years. Jeff Harding's from Penn State,
No doubt.
He was a cornerstone to that Super Bowl 40 team on the offensive line, and there have been a few guys like that. But their whole philosophy is to draft, develop, and then to sign their good players to second and third contracts. So if you look at the team spending money today, Steve, it's the Raiders, it's other teams, the Jets, the Redskins, teams who haven't been in the playoffs and, you know, need to make these types of moves. So I don't necessarily think the Steelers have to change, but they certainly have to do a better job of signing better free agents than they have in the last couple of years. I mean, last year it was John Bostic and Morgan Burnett, and they could cut both of those guys within the next 24 hours. And before that, it was Ladarius Green, who was a disastrous signing. So I don't know that they have to change their philosophy. They just have to do a much better job of targeting these free agents and getting good ones into their system.
All right, so the Brown thing also brings with it the idea of the dreaded words, dead money. What does that do to the Steelers?
$21 million was going to be on the cap whether he played for them or whether he was traded or released. So, I mean, that's just something they have to deal with. They actually have more salary cap space than in a normal year, Steve. I think they're right around $16 million. That could probably go up to about $20 million, depending on if they cut Morgan Burnett and if they sign Ben Roethlisberger to an extension here. So they have some money to make some moves. I don't think they're going to be big spenders in free agency, but I do think they could find a veteran starter at inside linebacker, maybe corner, maybe receiver. I think they'll go out and make that move if they can.
The depth of this draft appears to be in the lines, offensive and defensive lines. The Steelers just re-signed two offensive linemen. A, what did you think of those moves, and what do you think of this draft?
I think the decision to extend Pouncey was a good one. He's still an all-pro or Pro Bowl caliber player, and he's still relatively young. I think he's going to turn 30 in July. That was a good move. I don't understand the Ramon Foster signing. He's 33. He's a descending player. And they had B.J. Finney, who was ready to take over for him. So I don't get that one. But we'll see how that plays out. We'll see if I'm right or if they're right on that one. And, yeah, you're right about the offensive and defensive lines. I think defensive line, first and foremost, you got five defensive linemen, maybe five, six edge rushers, who could be among the first 32 picks in this draft. So it's a defense-heavy draft, and in particular, it's a defensive line-heavy draft. It's a really, really good class.
Ray, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much for the time. I really appreciate it.
All right, Steve, good to catch up. Appreciate you having me on.
The great Ray Fittipaldo joining us from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette does great, great work. Great work. All right, we'll take a break. The dreaded words, dead money, Sean.
21.1, blackjack.
Every day, Roger comes in, walks past the digital media office, and all he thinks about is dead money. On News Radio 1070 WK, okay. Sean and I were having this violent off-air argument about programs.
It's, and it's only Monday.
It was just
how we get it out
terrible.
Of the way now, then it's all downhill the rest of the week. Downhill meaning smooth sailing.
I mean, honestly, I haven't had words said to me like that in years.
I have to take advantage of this platform here because I don't have it at home.
I was on the air earlier today, and I took a sip of tea. You know, I was having an iced tea, and I went down the wrong way, and I started choking on the air. You know how that gets. Right?
Sure.
And I said, hundreds of people lined up from here to Philadelphia. Just harbored hope.
So that's where you could have gone on social media to use the hashtag not just yet.
Still here.
Hashtag still here.
Still here. Still hanging. Made it through. Recovered. James Franklin's going to have his press conference on Wednesday. I believe Joe Lorig is also going to be a part of that. I was talking to Chris Peterson yesterday.
Oh, yeah, first day of spring ball. That's right.
Yes. So I think we'd like to carry that on Wednesday as part of Wednesday's broadcast extravaganza that only we can do. I think that'd be great.
Oh, we can do it.
We'll have Dave Revson in the next half hour. Big Ten Network. Joe Rutter, Pittsburgh Tribune, final half hour. You got a lot going on. We'll talk to Dave about the Big Ten tournament. But we'll also talk to Joe about, who did the Steelers just lose? It's a wideout. Who was that? They just lose somebody?
Limus Sweet.
Lion, yes. Oh, who is the wideout they drafted from Auburn? Was it Auburn? And the guy, I mean, no offense. I mean, his biggest problem was catching the ball, which normally is a prerequisite to NFL wide receiver success. Who the heck was that wideout they had? I think he was from Auburn. Wore 14.
Oh, I think he was from Ole Miss. Actually, I think Limus Sweet did wear 14.
Well, maybe. Well, I'm trying to think who the heck it was. No, the Golsons, who you're thinking of from Ole Miss, the defensive back who could run like the wind.
And, yes. And, he couldn't catch a break and kept getting hurt and out at Latrobe.
Right, man. Right. And, you know, every time the wind blew, he got hurt. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it was Limus Sweet. Boy, that didn't go well. All right. Wrestling, Nolf, Hall, Nickel, so good that when they win, you expect it. And to their credit, they deliver the expected because they have a high standard for themselves. Anthony Cassar, though, is the one that, to me, is the star that comes out of yesterday in the Big Ten Wrestling Championship. He's been doing this all season. He then finally gets to what is, to this moment, the biggest stage he's been on. And comes through with an awesome performance.
Tim Johnson brought up a great observation on BTN yesterday as he was out on the mat. It seems like every time that he has seen Cassar since last year, it seems like he's 5 pounds heavier. And, of course, we're not talking about 5 pounds heavier in terms of fat, just with, you know, with pure... You know, rock solid body cut.
Well, I mean, let's face it. Have you seen a more muscular wrestler on the collegiate level than Cassar? I mean, you want to talk about a guy that has muscle definition? Holy mackerel. I mean, it's 180 of that day we're out in the sixth hole and the suit took off his shirt. It's like, no, put it back on. Holy mackerel.
I'm just curious, before yesterday, when was the last time Gable Steveson got taken down? Maybe not since who knows when.
High school?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Maybe
the early point of his high school career.
Maybe. I mean.
Yeah.
And he got him.
Yep.
Now it's on to Pittsburgh. A semi-home dual meet. Oh, will that crowd be rocking? Quite a weekend around here. Hockey won in overtime on the Liam Folks goal last night. Wrestling won the Big Ten Championship. Kassar was awesome. Nickel, Nolf, and Hall were their usual great. Men's basketball won yesterday. They'll take on Minnesota on Thursday at 7 o'clock. I'm beginning at 6:30. Today, Rivers, 800-meter national champion. Wow. Lacrosse won, baseball won.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.